Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Amen. Word of God before us this first Sunday in Lent is our second lesson from Romans chapter 5. It's on page 5 in your service folder if you have a service folder and want to follow along as we talk about it. In Christ, dear fellow redeemed, last year, about this time, I actually got to go to an island and get away from all this evil snow that surrounds us. I got to go to the Virgin Islands and U.S. Virgin Islands and visit my son and his wife, and it was pretty interesting. It was wonderful. It was a great vacation. Kind of like the Sundays in Lent are great vacations for Christians to reflect on God's love and mercy. But one of the things that struck me as we drove around is, man, there's a lot of buildings that still had the effects of hurricanes that were from many, many years ago. They were still beaten, just laying open, weeds growing throughout them, trees sticking out the top of homes or businesses. It was interesting to see all of that destruction that was still evident. And actually, one of the things that made me think about was, oh, I wish I would have talked to my dad more about some stuff. My dad served in World War II, in the Pacific Theater, and he got to see a lot of islands. Islands that weren't always pretty. The islands that had a lot of battle scars on them. He talked about it a little bit, but I never pressed him farther on it because he'd always kind of clam up a little bit. But I do remember the one time he told me after an air raid, his job was to clean up body parts out of trees. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine the horrors that you must see in war. In the middle of a beautiful tropical island, just grotesque pictures and images that I have to believe haunted him the rest of his life. So today, as we start this journey on the Sundays of Lent of looking at islands in the sun being Jesus, we're reminded from our readings today that this is a battle-scarred island that's full of grotesque images. We see the effects of what we read about in the first lesson, the fall into sin. We see it every day in our lives. It surrounds us. And the battle rages on, even though, as we see in our reading today, we know the outcome of the war, but the battle still rages around us. So today we see what brought about the battle, the effects of the battle, and we focus our eyes on the one who won the battle for us. Paul's letter to the Romans is just a fascinating letter to read, I've always thought, because you read the first of about 8 chapters or so, and it's like you're sitting in a synagogue in the first century AD listening to Paul teach Saturday after Saturday. Because he had never been to Rome, and he writes to the Romans to prepare a way for a visit, and what he does is he covers law and gospel, and sin and grace and the effects and the struggle and the battle that goes on around us. And he writes about how Jew and Gentile alike are condemned by God's law. And it's not the law that saves us, but it's only faith that saves us. And he pointed to Abraham shortly before our reading here about how Abraham wasn't saved by faith, saved by the law, but he was saved by faith. And his faith laid hold of God's promises. And he continues on to kind of make that point in what he talks about us here, because he says, even before there was a law, you can see the results of the fall into sin. Through Adam's disobedience, sin came to everyone, even before the law was given. The law was given to Moses 1500 BC, so there was a lot of people that had lived without breaking a given command of God, like the law that the Jews always pointed to as their hope and their answer, or some of them did. And he says, take a look around you. When Adam fell into sin, and Satan led Adam and Eve into sin, God, yeah, he promised a Savior, and we hang on to that promise of the one who would crush the serpent's head, but who would have his heel struck. Yet, there are incredible effects. You keep reading in Genesis 3, you'll see those effects: pain, suffering, hardship, heartache. Those are the scars that are on this battle ever since that this island ever since that battle was enjoined. And we live in it every day, but the greatest effect is that we're separated from God. We deserve to go to hell. We've got nothing to offer to God to make him take away the guilt of our sin. It's just we're all sinners. We're born sinners, and sin condemns us to hell. No ifs, ands, or buts. I don't care how many times we try to take away the effects of sin by saying that's not fair, that Adam's sin was credited to us. It doesn't matter. It's fascinating. And prepared to answer the book we're reading for Sunday night that we'll start a Bible study on next week. One of the questions we're looking at is, it's not fair if, for this week, we're looking at the question, it's not fair if someone has a deathbed confession and they get to go to heaven just like I do, even though I served God my whole life. Doesn't that question just completely miss the point? I don't care if you served the Lord your whole life. You didn't take away one of your sins. You lived in response to the one who took away your sin. You haven't earned heaven any more than the person, the thief on the cross who, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. We seem to think, even though we give lip service to, yes, we're sinners and sin condemns us to hell, we seem to want to put not a period at the end of that statement, but a comma. But God must love me more because I do this, this, or that. No. God loves us because God is love. The battle was enjoined, and Satan led the world into sin, and the effect of that sin is that we are all lost in sin, and that the effects of that sin are that we struggle daily against sin. We live in the effects of sin, and there are continually scars in us, around us, and unfortunately, given to others through us. There's just no denying it. There's no excusing it. This is what we are. The only answer to this battle is not trying harder, not doing better. The only answer to this battle is what Paul pointed the Romans and us to. Just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many are made righteous. All were condemned by the fall into sin, and all have been declared not guilty through the life of Christ. His perfection is credited to all people, is what Paul is telling us. Now, when God looks at us, he no longer sees our sin. He sees the beauty of the perfection of Christ. So for you and me, one of the things we've got to be able to do now is when we look in the mirror and see the guilt of our own sin, we need to hear Christ say, you are forgiven. You are righteous because I have declared you righteous. And then we have to live in that. Believe it. Not be troubled by our guilt, but rejoice in our forgiveness so that now we can begin to live in a way that honors and serves God. That we live in a way that, I suppose in a real sense, we start going on the offensive and taking the battle to Satan. We do that with the sword of the Spirit. We do that by being in the mighty fortress that is our God. And we use the weapon of the word to assure ourselves that we are God's forgiven children, to assure one another that we are God's forgiven children, and to take that truth to those who are still living under the weight of the battle-scarred sin that Satan has brought into their life. Yeah, we all mess up. We all sin terribly. I get it. But God doesn't see that when we are in Christ. And so we who are in Christ want to live in the newness of that life and live to serve our God. That means we go on the offensive and we share Christ. And we share Christ. And we share Christ. Amen.